Yeah, so today we'll be reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Before I continue, I would like to just briefly explain this song that we just sang, because it's a very nice song. Could you be so kind to give me a songbook? This song is written by Bhaktivinod Thakur. He's one of our spiritual masters. Srila Prabhupada, he is also our spiritual master. And so his Guru Maharaj is Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj, and his father wrote this song, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. So Radha means Krishna's eternal consort. Like this temple is called Radha Desh. So Radharani is the eternal consort of Lord Krishna. And here the name that we, because Krishna means all attractive. So the names of God, because Krishna actually is God, are descriptive. And here we call Krishna, we call him Gopinath. Nath means Lord, and Gopi means coward girl. So he's the Lord of the coward girls, or the, yeah, I don't know what else you could make of it. He's kind of the lover of the coward girls, actually. So Gopinath, Radha Gopinath. And Radharani, she is the chief of Krishna's girlfriends, and everybody actually wants to serve Radharani, and they want to see that Radha and Krishna are together. It's a little bit different as in the material world, because sometimes people in the material world, they want to either, you know, take away the husband or take away the girlfriend. So, but in the spiritual world, it's the other way around, that Radharani is always want to have other girlfriends going with Krishna, and the girlfriends of Radharani always want to have Radharani with Krishna. So that is the first word, is Jai Radha Madhava. So it means all glories to Radharani and Krishna, or Gopinath. And so then Jai Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari. They have their pastimes, because they're actually boyfriend and girlfriend. They have their pastimes in the pleasure groves of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is... well, actually, it is a spiritual place. It is a place in the spiritual world. So we are in the material world, and it's shaped like an egg. And outside of the material world, there's the spiritual world, and there's Goloka Vrindavan. And that is actually where Radha and Krishna live. Now, when Krishna came here 5,000 years ago, Krishna came in his spiritual body. Like, we have a material body. It's made of blood and flesh and like that. But in the heart, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, there's the soul situated, sitting in the heart, and it's this tiny speck of consciousness. The thing, though, is that it also has actually a spiritual body. It's just that now it's covered by our not only material body, or gross material body, but also our subtle body, which is the mind, intelligence, and false ego. So we also have real ego. False ego means I'm this body, I'm the enjoyer, I'm a woman, I'm a man. This is false ego. But real ego is, I'm actually not a woman, I'm not a man, I'm not from Amsterdam, but I'm Krishna's eternal servant. This is real ego. So it's not that we give up the ego, we change the account, as Prabhupada says. So instead of thinking, you know, I should enjoy, we think Krishna should enjoy. And I should try to help him to enjoy. Like I explained in the beginning, that all the girlfriends of Radharani are trying to let Radharani enjoy, let Krishna enjoy. That is their consciousness. It's based on love. If you really love someone, then you try to, you know, do in the best interest of them. And everybody knows in Vrindavan that Radharani, she's the most qualified. She knows everything. She knows how to play music. She's the best cook. Everything. So automatically, the girlfriends are like, well, Krishna should be with Radharani, because they all love Krishna. So, like that. They want Krishna to be the happiest, and because Radharani is the most qualified, they all want Radharani to be with Krishna. But Radharani, she's so humble that she wants her other girlfriends to be with Krishna also. So this is like a very interesting dynamics. It's a little bit intimate, but it's all based on love. It's not based on sex. It's based on unconditional love. That all they want to do is to please Krishna. There's nothing else in their minds. Nothing else. It's called pure devotional service. So anyway, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Gopi Janavalaba Giri Varadari. So Krishna, he is the lover of the gopis, and he's the liver of Govardhan Hill. Girivaradhari means Govardhan Hill. He lifted that on his pink when he was very young. And another meaning of that verse is also that if we become dear to the gopis, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is actually another form of Lord Krishna. In fact, it's interesting to say a little bit about it, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is a Radha and Krishna combined. It says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He is Radha and Krishna together. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught us that we should worship Krishna in the mood of the gopis. So if we have to become gopi pada kamalayor dasanu dasanu das, right? It's an old scholar. That's the verse, no? It means that we have to become servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. And if we become like that, then Krishna will protect us. Like he protected the inhabitants of Vrindavan by lifting Govardhan Hill, Krishna will lift all of our troubles. And it might not be like immediate troubles, like many times people pray that let me have a nice wife or a nice husband, let me have money. Those kind of troubles Krishna is not so much interested in. He's interested in troubles of the soul. How to bring the soul back to the spiritual world. Because that is the solution to all our problems. So, and then it's Gopi Janavallabha, Kunja Bihari, Girivaradhari, Yamuna Tira, Yashoda Nandana, Braja Janaranjana. So Mother Yashoda, that's Krishna's mother, she loves him very much, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they also love Krishna very much. And even though everybody loves Krishna, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, he goes to the Yamuna, and he's very detached. And he just goes and walk near the Yamuna, and everybody is crying, where is Krishna? When is he coming back? So even though everybody loves Krishna, he's completely detached. So this song, it gives a description actually of the whole spirit. You kind of missed it. You came a little late. But you probably already know the song, but I wanted to tell you anyway. And, you know, it's spiritual. We cannot hear enough times how wonderful this song is. So I just wanted to share that with you. And again, like I said, it's written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Maybe I can find you a picture. So what is the verse of today, Sibhu Prabhu? 15. So today, we'll be reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is. And before we read, we say this prayer to Lord Krishna. And if you like, you can repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 1, Observing the Armies, text number 15. Okay. So what we usually do, actually, we usually write it on the board, but we're a little bit understaffed. What we do is we just give everybody a Gita, and if you like, you can read it along with me. Because these verses are spoken by Lord Krishna 5,000 years ago. And it's the words of God. So we have to try to understand how special that is, actually. Because, you know, we are here in Belgium, and Belgium is a Christian country. And, you know, so most of us are raised in the Christian culture. And the real Christian culture, you know, the culture of Lord Jesus and his disciples, is a very nice culture. In fact, if you study it closely, you'll see it's the same culture as the Krishna culture. In fact, there's some people who say that Christos comes from Greek, and it actually derived from Krishna. So I don't know if that is true. The fact of the matter is that Jesus was a devotee of God. It's just that he said that I cannot really tell you who is God because you would not believe me. So we actually have the information that Lord Jesus was not willing to tell his disciples. We know exactly who is God. Not only do we know who God is, but here in Bhagavad Gita, we have the words of God. So this is very important, and we don't really realize it how important it is. So we should try and realize how important it is. And it doesn't even matter if you realize it or not. But these verses, they will just purify you. Just by listening to them, you will get purified. So I'll first read from the word for word, and then we'll try to read the verse together. Because the idea is actually that we try to... I think she wants to have the garland. Oh, she wants to have Bhagavad Gita? Maybe she wants to have both. So we'll just read the word for word first, and then we'll try to recite the whole verse. The idea is that we actually remember the verse after a class, that we memorize it. But at least maybe you can just memorize a few words, like Rishikesh or Dhananjaya. Dhananjaya is the name of Arjun. But we'll get to that later. Just first try to repeat it, because repetition is the mother of all learning, and then we can explain it later. So please repeat after me. Panchajanyam Rishika Ishaha Devadatam Dhananjam Jayaha. Sorry, Dhanam Jayaha Poundram Dhatmau Mahashankam Bhimakarma Vriga Udaraha Panchajanyang Rishikesho Devadatang Dhananjaya Poundrang Dhatmau Mahashankam Bhima Karma Vrigodara Panchajanyam Rishikesho Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadatang Dhananjaya Poundrang Dhatmau Mahashankam Bhima Karma Vrigodara Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadatang Dhananjaya Poundrang Dhatmau Mahashankam Bhima Karma Vrigodara. Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadatam Dhananjaya Poundram Dhatmo Mahashankam Bhima Karma Frikodara Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadatang Dhananjaya Poundram Dhatmo Mahashankam Bhima Karma Frigodara Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadatang Dhananjaya Poundram Dhatmo Mahashankam Bhima Karma Frigodara Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadatang Dhananjaya Paundram Dadma Mahashankam Bhima Karma Vrigodara. Thank you. Pancha Janyam Rishikesho Devadatang Dananjaya Paundram Dadma Mahashankam Bhima Karma Vrigodara. Pancha Janyam Rishikesho Devadatam Dananjaya Paundram Dadma Mahashankam Bhima Karma Vrigodara. Hare Krishna. Would you like to try and sing? Would you like to try it? To sing the verse? No? Okay. Okay. So thank you. Thank you very much. Now we'll read together the word for word and the English translation. Please repeat after me. Panchajanyam. The conscious name Panchajanya. Rishika Ishaha. Rishikesh. Krishna, the Lord who directs the senses of the devotees. Devadattam. The conscious name Devadatta. Danam Jayaha. Dananjaya. Arjun, the winner of wealth. Paundram. The conscious name Paundra. Dhatmao. Blue. Mahashankam. The terrific conch shell. Bhima Karma. One who performs Herculean tasks. Vrika Udaraha. The voracious eater, Bhim. Translation. Lord Krishna blew his conch shell called Panchajanya. Arjuna blew his Devadatta, and Bhima, the voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks, blew his terrific conch shell called Paundra. Purport. Lord Krishna is referred to as Rishikesh in this verse because he is the owner of all senses. The living entities are part and parcel of him, and therefore the senses of the living entities are also part and parcel of his senses. The impersonalist cannot account for the senses of the living entities, and therefore they are always anxious to describe all living entities as senseless or impersonal. The Lord, situated in the hearts of all living entities, directs their senses, but he directs in terms of the surrender of the living entity, and in the case of a pure devotee, he directly controls the senses. Here on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Lord directly controls the transcendental senses of Arjuna. And thus, his particular name of Rishikesha, the Lord, and thus his particular name of Rishikesha. The Lord has different names according to his different activities. For example, his name is Madhusudan because he killed the demon of the name Madhu. His name is Govinda because he gives pleasure to the cows and to the senses. His name is Vasudev, because he appeared as the son of Vasudeva. His name is Devaki Nandana, because he accepted Devaki as his mother. His name is Yashoda Nandana, because he awarded his childhood pastimes to Yashoda at Vrindavan. His name is Parthasarthi, because he worked as charioteer of his friend Arjuna. Similarly, his name is Rishikesha, because he gave direction to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjuna is referred to as Dhananjaya in this verse because he helped his elder brother in fetching wealth when it was required by the king to make expenditures for different sacrifices. Similarly, Bhima is known as Vrigodar because he could eat as voraciously as he could perform Herculean tasks, such as killing the demon Hidimba. So the particular types of conch shell blown by the different personalities on the side of the Pandavas, beginning with the lords, were all very encouraging to the fighting soldiers. On the other side, there were no such credits, nor the presence of Lord Krishna, the supreme director, nor that of the goddess of fortune. So they were predestined to lose the battle, and that was the message announced by the sounds of the conch shells. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Svayang Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Svapadantikang Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupang Sakrajatang Sagana Raghunatang Vitang Tang Sajivang Sadvaitang Savadutang Parijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devang Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakang Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyae Vacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Hari Om Tat Sat. Pancha Janyam Rishikesho Deva Datang Dananjaya Poundrang Datmao Mahashankang Bhima Karma Vrigodaraha. Yeah, so here you can see here the battle is about to begin. This scene, what we're reading now, is before this. So the armies were getting ready to do battle with each other. It is a little bit of a long history. The point was that it was a fratricidal war. It was a war between two brothers, or two sides of brothers. In India, it's like, you know, half brother is a brother, and it's not so strict as it is in the West. Or you could say that the family bonds are more strict. You know, the families are more together and more, you know, tight and therefore also bigger. Anyway, on the one side was Arjuna and his four brothers, his two twins, brothers. They were actually all half-brothers. They had the same mother. And I don't recall exactly, because I think wasn't the Nakula and Sahadev was also from Queen Kunti? Madri, right? Yeah. Yeah, so they were not even real brothers in the Western sense, because Arjuna's father was Indra, Bhima's father was the wind, what's his name? Vayu. And Yudhisthir, the older brother, was Yamaraj, right? And then Nakula and Sahadev, if I forgot who their father was. Huh? Ashwini Kumar? Yeah. Really? Yeah, because she was a little bit jealous of Kunti that she had three sons. So she wanted to have an equal amount. So at least she got twins. That I also remember from the story. Anyway, but they were basically five brothers. And on the other side were, I think, 100 brothers? No? And it's like I said, it's a long story, but the point is that the other 100 brothers, they kind of usurped, they kind of took the kingdom illegally from Yudhisthira, and therefore Krishna wanted that Arjuna would fight, because he was a great general and he was actually almost undefeatable in battle. And so Krishna wanted him to fight to reestablish religious principles, because Yudhisthira was a very religious person, and Duryodhan, who was their stepbrother, he was actually a non-religious person. He was a very irreligious person. Sometimes we also refer to him as a demoniac person, because he did many demoniac acts. Like one of the acts he did was he practically raped or allowed Draupadi, who never did any sin, to be raped, and that was very, very sinful. This was actually one of the reasons also why this war was fought, because especially Bhima, he was very upset with that. So, but many other things happened. He also tried to poison them and kill them many, many times. And then even after all those murder attempts, they still tried to, with, how do you call that? Diplomacy, thank you. With diplomacy, they tried to overcome this war, and Krishna tried everything. And then Duryodhan, he just didn't want to budge, as they say in America. He didn't want to even give them one tiny speck of land. And so they were forced to fight. Anyway, the point of this verse is that they were blowing their conch shells, and it was just putting fear in the other soldiers. That is actually the idea of these conch shells. You blow them, and then not only does the army, that the soldiers know that it's that ready to fight, but they also get very encouraged by their generals. And in those days, actually, the generals would lead the charge. They would be in front of the army. They wouldn't be in the back like later, like in the Napoleonistic times, the generals would be in the back. But in the real culture is that the generals are in front of the battle. They're also directing the battle, but they lead the charge generally. Like Arjuna, he would always be in front of the battle. So a few important points, like for instance this of the purport, this word Rishika Ishaha. So we already talked a little bit about Jesus. This Isha, I'm pretty sure that is the same word as Jesus. Because Jesus actually, it does mean Lord, it's like a title. It comes from Ishis also, which is the same as this Isha. So Isha means Lord. And Rishik means the senses. So this is another name of Krishna. Rishika Isha, the Lord of the senses. So Prabhupada says something very interesting. Do you remember that verse? As those surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. You know the verse sentence? Anybody? Yeah, go on.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's it. Yay. No, that's not it. No. It looks like it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, I have to brush up on it. But you get the point. Krishna says, as those surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So let me just rephrase that. So Krishna doesn't discriminate. He doesn't look if you're black or white or male or female or young or old. He just looks, how is this person surrendering to me? So like that, he's equal. So he loves everyone. Like a father or a mother loves all the children, but still, sometimes you have a good child and sometimes you have a so-called bad child. Like some children, they can be very, very... well, not even naughty, but like criminal. Some children become criminal, and other sons they become like very pious. So generally, the father loves both sons, but of course he reciprocates more with the son who is obedient. It's just a normal thing. It's not a strange thing. The love is there for both, but the reciprocation is different. Like with the criminal son, the father might say that you're not allowed into the house until you stop your criminal behavior because you're a bad influence on the other children. And with the son is religious, he will invite him into the house. It's just normal, but it doesn't mean he doesn't love the criminal son. It's just that he reciprocates in a different way. So Krishna is also like that. As people, living entities, which is the soul, as they surrender into Krishna, that is how he reciprocates. And that's what Prabhupada says here in the purport. He says, the Lord has different names according to his different activities. And he says that, let me see, where did I read that? Yeah, Prabhupada says here, yeah, so let us just start from the beginning. We have a few more minutes, because this is the most important part, actually, of the purport. Lord Krishna is referred to as Rishikesha in this verse, because he is the owner of all senses. The living entities are part and parcel of him, and therefore the senses of the living entities are also part and parcel of his senses. Yeah, so Krishna is God. He is a blue boy, a coward boy, and his body is spiritual. And he appeared in India 5,000 years ago, and he brought his country, Vrindavan. There is a place near Delhi. If you go from Delhi to Agra, the Taj Mahal is in Agra. You take a left, go to Mathura, and then near Mathura is a place called Vrindavan. There's 5,000 temples there, and it's a little bit commercial now because there's many big hotels, but it's still the most wonderful place you ever see. There's monkeys there, there's cows there, there's peacocks, there's camels, there's horses. It's an amazing place. And it's a very spiritual place because it's actually not different from Krishna. Because Krishna and his name and his place and like that, it's non-different from Krishna. And at the same time, Krishna, he can expand himself. So he expands himself into the living entities. And ultimately, he's all-pervading. His energies are everywhere. So the senses of us, like the hand is a sense and the eyes are a sense, or the hand is like, it's called touch. And then the hand is called the working sense. It's not so known in the West, but according to the scriptures, you have five working senses: the hands, the legs, the genitals, the anus, and the voice. These are called working senses. And the other five, which are very known in the West, are called knowledge-acquiring senses. So those are also part and parcel of Krishna, the senses. They kind of, you know, because sometimes we think that when we come to spiritual life, we think we need to be renounced. And Prabhupada explains that actually we cannot renounce anything because we don't really owe anything. And if you think about it intelligently, you don't really own the body. We think we own the body, but if you look at it honestly, you don't, because it's given to you by your parents. They gave you the body. And you just kind of use it, but it's not really yours to say. So all we really have is our free will. We are a spirit soul, and we can choose. Actually, there's only two choices: either to serve Krishna or not to serve Krishna. There's really no other choice. We call it Maya. Maya means that which is not, or it is also referred to as material energy. But actually, there is only spiritual life. It's just that we deny it. Lokanath Swami calls it ignorance. We ignore the fact that Krishna is there. We ignore the fact that we are not his body, but we are a spirit soul. So once we start to realize that, because here Prabhupada makes another important point. Prabhupada's pranam mantra, we chanted in the beginning, it's called Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Prabhupada always preaches against the impersonalist. And here Prabhupada says the impersonalist cannot account for the senses of the living entities, and therefore they are always anxious to describe all living entities as senseless or impersonal. So we do have senses. They are here, and they can drag us down. Like if a young boy, or if I see a beautiful girl, then generally I get distracted. So that is, it's very difficult to overcome that. But what we have here, we have Radha Gopinath, and they're very, very beautiful. So they're so beautiful, then you forget all other beauty, actually. And not only that, but you, just by looking at Radha Gopinath, and they will be giving darshan in like half an hour, 40 minutes, 10 to 9 officially. And you'll get purified just by looking at them. So it's very, very powerful. And that is actually the point I want to get across, that we have spiritual senses, but they're just covered by these material senses, by this body. And we need to kind of re-spiritualize them. We need to reconnect with Krishna. And that's what Prabhupada says here. He says, the Lord, situated in the hearts of all living entities, directs their senses. And now this is the point, but he directs in terms of the surrender of the living entity. And in the case of a pure devotee, he directly controls the senses. So Krishna can directly control our senses, and that is really the only way how we can overcome, I mean, to say it bluntly, this sex desire, because that is the most attractive in the material world. And it's a little bit difficult to understand maybe for some persons, because sometimes sexuality is related to spiritual life, but it's actually not. In the Vedic culture, there is one ashram called Grihastha Ashram, and that is reserved for sex life. And that sex life actually is only to make God-conscious or Krishna-conscious children. So it's like a whole very sacred ritual, actually. And then the other ashrams, brahmachari or celibate student, and somebody who becomes more retired and then completely detached, these are all ashrams that sex is actually not allowed. And to become detached, because the sex life, it attaches us to the senses, it attaches us to the body. And I just explained in the beginning, we're not the body. So ultimately, we need to become detached from those things. That's why it's also good to have a family, because then you can have that selfless love to the children. And that is something that we want to cultivate. But we should ultimately direct that love to Krishna. In fact, you cannot have a successful grihastha life or marriage life unless you put Krishna in the center. Because you need to direct those senses to Krishna, and then you can overcome it more and more and more. And then ultimately Krishna will control the senses. So we have to stop here, because we have bhajans at 8:15. I'm already over time. So one of the ways actually to control the senses is to chant together this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And that mantra, it means Radharani or Hara, energy of the Lord, supreme attractive personality of Godhead, Krishna, a source of all pleasure, please engage me in your service. That's what I explained. We're a soul, and we're actually eternal servants of Krishna. And if we sing this mantra together, you'll feel at least one thing. Like Bob Marley used to say, like when the music hits, you feel no pain. And that is especially applicable to this mantra. As soon as you hear this mantra, and especially when you sing this mantra, you will not feel any more pain. At least the mental pain, it will be gone. At least it will be to the background. It's a very powerful mantra. I've been chanting this mantra for more than 16 years, and it never gets boring. And that is just from an empirical, that is not normal, how you can chant the same mantra and it's not boring. So it's a very, very special mantra, and I invite all of you to chant with us. So thank you very much for listening, and I hope you'll stay and enjoy your stay around this. Hare Krishna.